Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Spoken Heard. I'm Susan Dolby Chase, and today I am thrilled to bring you Miss Erica Miriam Fabri. How are you?
I'm good, Susan. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. We had a little bit of a snafu this morning, but our wires getting crossed over here, and I just want to thank you for being so accommodating and understanding of the mistakes that have happened. And I promise that this will be easier than that surely was. So I'm just wondering, how have you been? How are things going? What exciting things have you had happen this past week or that are coming up shortly?
I'm really great. Thank you for asking. I have a lot of exciting things going on. I mean, I always find life pretty exciting. But in addition to sort of all my work and different projects, I'm pregnant right now. So I can't lie. That's definitely consuming. Yeah, thank you. That's definitely consuming my life, and in addition to everything else, and then yeah, it's been a really beautiful year. I've been really busy with different artistic projects. It's been really cool how here in New York we had a kind of delay before winter came, but now it's fully here.
Yes,
and everything's been really great.
Good, good. When are you due?
I'm due in April.
In April.
So I have about two more months. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
Which is awesome because that's poetry month.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was perfect when I found out that that was the due date.
Fantastic. And so I was hoping, you know, you are so amazing, and I wanted people to hear something from you right off the bat here. Could I prevail upon you to read us something that you've written?
Sure. I was trying to decide, I was looking through different poems, and I stole two love poems. Both of them are about my husband, that I wrote last April during the 30-30. The first one was kind of a shameful poem for me, because I had planned to read a poem at our wedding, and I never finished the poem, which is it's very much my style to be late and to be behind on things. So I finished the poem long after the wedding and ended up posting it during last April. So I was so consumed with getting ready for the wedding. I was like sewing my own wedding gown. So the title of the poem ended up being Poem to be Recited in a Wedding Gown. So here it is. For 7 months, I have been sewing this dress. For 200 days, tiny pearls have been rolling all over the bedroom floor. Sometimes, one of them abandons the others and hides somewhere overnight. It shows up the next morning between my toes when I leave the bed to walk to the kitchen. My hands are sore from stitching. I have calluses on my fingertips. I know my husband-to-be is terrified daily, not because of till death do us part, but because I have been losing straight pins in the cushions of our sofa, between the hardwood floors, on top of the mattress. He is afraid to sit, stand, or lay down anywhere. When I am home alone, I am surrounded by aurora borealis crystals, spools of gold thread. And when I hear his key in the door, I panic. I scoop up the pile of lace as if it is a bag of money I am thieving from a vault, and I hide it in a trunk. When he goes out again, I pull the body of the gown from the box I have hidden her in and run my hands over her as if she is my lover. She is a twin body of me, satin and filigree and sparkle in place of flesh. I try to write a poem in my head while my hands pull the needle through her. Each time I prick myself, I see a marvel of blood grow from my thumbprint. I take a break to get a bandage. I think about how I will need a line in the poem about how lucky I am to have him play guitar as I fall asleep each night, how much I love to hear him sing. Our apartment is hot. I go sit by the window to cut out an applique for the bustle. I can hear Brooklyn outside. It is one of my favorite love songs. I contemplate buttons down the spine and also writing a line where I say I will not just be taking his hand in marriage, but his entire arm, both of his arms, the one that is tattooed and the one that is always aching, the pulled muscle in the shoulder and the whole torso, legs, and his dancing feet, too. I'm afraid I won't finish this poem in time. I'm afraid that I'm just too busy trying to finish this dress, this slim champagne glass of a costume, dazzling pears for my earlobe, bouquet of crystal flowers for my hair, that I may not even get a chance to write in verse how this is all I ever dreamed of, this exact everything, as I was growing up on the same lake that I will soon stand in front of to say I do. The dream I had written was so precise that I almost cannot believe I am not actually a witch, that I didn't carve this future myself from a mystical rock and call out a spell for it to be this way. This man, this hand, this home in Brooklyn, this life, this tattooed arm, this love song, every love song, this guitar and his voice singing me to sleep every night forever till death do us part. Of course I do. I do. Of course I do. I do for sure.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And even though it took a couple of months later, it certainly is a beautiful tribute. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
What did you read in place of it at the ceremony?
Well, I just didn't. We had a in the actual ceremony, we had two of our very dear poet friends performed a poem each,
mm-hmm.
and then my brother performed the vows for us. And the
nice.
Vows, we said to each other, were actually quotes from Neruda poems instead of traditional vows. So we had
oh,
a very poetry-filled
that.
Wedding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just I didn't have a poem at the wedding.
Well, it's gorgeous, absolutely
thank
gorgeous.
You, thank
and
you.
I love how the symbolism of the gown in the beginning becomes prevalent, and then it goes beyond the idea of you, you know, wearing the experience and, you know, crafting it all yourself and being so tied to every stitch and every contour, and you call it a lover's body. And then you also open that door further later on and allow us to see your relationship more in being afraid to sit down or lay down. And the image I just love, 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 is him playing the guitar as you fall asleep every night. That's
well,
really
yeah.
lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, I did feel like the process of sewing the dress, you know, seems like the process of anything we create, you know, whether it be a poem or a song or a baby, you know, the idea
mm-hmm.
of like constantly creating something. Although it was a lot of work, I definitely enjoyed that more than I would have, say, going to a dress shop repeatedly for fittings. Like, I liked that the wedding was still something I was making with my own hands, you know?
Yes. I know very few people who have done that. Are you were you before this an experienced seamstress?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Were you an experienced seamstress before you got involved in making your own gown?
I sew a lot, but really only for myself, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I did buy the gown sort of halfway to where I wanted it, and then I turned it in to what I wanted. So I didn't do it completely from scratch. I bought something that was close to what I wanted and then sort of transformed it into being even closer. So it was a lot of
love
work,
that.
But not exactly from scratch. Yeah.
Well, speaking of work, when I look at your bio and I look at all the different things you're involved in with festivals and you know, books that you've been involved in and different organizations that you're teaching a lot at the university level, I'm amazed that you can fit all of this into your life, especially now being pregnant and due in the near future. Tell me a little bit about your teaching background and what it is you do with poetry in your daily life.
My teaching background is definitely one of my great loves. I teach in various scenarios. In my mind, they all connect, you know, thematically in a certain way. My background was in performance first, and then I discovered poetry. Well, I always loved poetry, but I discovered the performance poetry scene a couple years into college, and I had been studying theater and performance. And the performance poetry scene was a great way to sort of mix all that together. So I studied both, you know, some playwriting, some performance for the stage. Then once I found poetry, I was a total convert. So now sort of the teaching I do is kind of a mix of all that. At Pace University, I teach in the theater department. So the classes are held in the same department where the theater classes would be held, but they're poetry or verse-based. And I think the students there get really excited about that because they have a lot of traditional acting classes, which are wonderful. But finding a place also to see where the world of performance poetry fits in to theater and the stage has been really exciting. It's also exciting for me sometimes because some students have already discovered performance poetry and they're really excited to take my classes. Other times they've never heard of it. They're like, so the one class is called Verse for the Stage. Sometimes they sign up and assume it's going to be Shakespeare because that's the only person they associate with doing poetry on a stage. And I get to open them up to this world where our textbook ends up being YouTube because that's sort of like where a rich canon of performance poets live these days. And I get to show them this amazing art that they never heard of before. So it's exciting both ways. I love students who have already fallen in love with performance poetry, and I love students who never heard of it, and I get to show it to them for the first time. And then on the other side, I also work for Urban Word NYC, which is a nonprofit that focuses mostly on inner-city teens ages 13 to 19. So they're slightly younger than my university students. But the program I specifically run at Urban Word is called Creatively College Bound. So I work with the seniors or the newly graduated students transitioning to college. And Urban Word is a hip-hop and spoken word organization. So we try to use hip-hop and spoken word in the college application process. And then we run a series of scholarships. So our goal is we partner up with colleges who offer scholarships or we help the students search for scholarships. Our goal is to get all of our students to go to college for free. And a good portion of the time, the way they achieve that is through writing poetry. They'll write a portfolio of poems, win a contest for a full ride scholarship to college. And that's also definitely one of my great loves of all my different jobs is the program itself that I run at Urban Word.
That's fantastic, and I have tons of respect for Michael and everyone, Michael Cirelli, and everyone at Urban Word. I've always really admired what they do. In case there are people listening who have young ones who are involved in spoken word, I know that I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, and I know that we have a program called First Wave here that supports and gives scholarships to kids who are in spoken word poetry. Where might other people find other places where that happens?
Well, University of Wisconsin Madison is one of our longest college partner. They're so amazing. They support us so well. We love their program. I have students who've been going there. I want to say it's almost 10 years this year. If not, maybe next year is 10 years.
So.
Yeah, they take one or two students every year. The First Wave program is definitely, we feel like, the closest sort of soul sister to Urban Word to be in First Wave at Madison, Wisconsin, where they can study anything they want, but still be in a learning community that revolves around urban arts, poetry, spoken word, dance, hip-hop. So they've been around the longest. And then the second longest would be Mercy College, which is a really cool option for us because Mercy College both has a campus here in Manhattan. So if students want to stay home, they can get to school by subway. But they have a second campus about 45 minutes north. So a lot of New York City students, if they really want to have that experience of going away, living in a dorm, feeling like they lived on campus. Mercy College mm-hmm. offers both options, but yet they're still close enough they can get home. They're only about an hour away. Then St. John's University has been an amazing partner for several years now. They always give at least two, if not more, full-ride scholarships.
Nice.
And they're also a great location because, again, they're in Queens, so they are mm-hmm. reachable by subway, but they have a pretty good-sized campus for the students that, again, want to go and live there. You give students both options. And then mm-hmm. just last year, one of our newest partners is Manhattanville College, and they've also been amazing so far. The student that won the scholarship last year has been really happy. We're in the process right now of selecting the students for the new scholarship this year. And then over the years, other colleges, they give what they can. They join for a year or two, give a scholarship, and then they leave, and then sometimes they come back again. So over the years, we've given scholarships to Syracuse, Adelphi University, Long Island University, and several others give partial scholarships or at least assistance in waiving application fees. Sometimes that's all they need. They just kind of want to get their foot in the door, and we can find other outside scholarships, if not
yes,
from the specific
yes.
college itself.
Fantastic.
So it's been really great.
Yeah. And, you know, the world, that just opens doors for the world for them. And I know that it's important that they found their own voice, but then to feel like the world has opened up and is ready to receive their voice is just an amazing and liberating feeling, I'm sure.
For me, it's the most fulfilling job for me to have.
Really?
Yeah, when you sometimes I've dealt even with parents who feel like, why are they going to this after school place where they write poetry and listen to hip hop? I want them to be doing other things. And that's okay, because I understand if a parent doesn't understand, you know, what they're doing. And then when they get the phone call, it's like, congratulations, you know, your son or daughter is going to go to college for 4 years for free. You know, I've had parents who are calling me in tears. You know, the kids will be screaming on the phone when they get their winning phone call. And then they'll keep in touch with me for years, you know. So it's definitely right. a very fulfilling job. It's something I really love.
Well, thank you for doing that job because, honestly, the voice of the youth coming up is just amazing and so powerful and so real that I think that they have a very, very interesting role to play in the world of poetry as they come into adulthood. And I was wondering, we're about halfway through the show, actually a little bit more than halfway. I was wondering if I could ask you to read your second piece.
Sure, absolutely. I got another love poem ready. I've gotten a reputation over the years for writing love poems. So here's another one, also for my husband. This one is called My Husband's Hair. My husband's hair is tied in a knot inside a cardboard box under the piano in our bedroom. It is safe and sound, preserved like a trophy, left over from a lifetime before me. I didn't arrive in time to see it while still attached to his flesh. It is my favorite antique, even better than old-fashioned photographs. Because it is 3D, I can feel it with my hands. A month before we first met, I went on a date with a man who lived in the apartment building just next door to my husband and his box of dreadlocks. My heart's desire had followed the scent correctly, all the way to Brooklyn, then walked through the wrong entrance. If only my nose had operated more precisely, I could have found the light of my life 30 days sooner. 720 extra hours in the arms of my beloved was lost over a less astute sensation of the vibration of magnets that are pulling us closer daily toward who we are meant to be. In another dimension of reality, where I'm an even more advanced version of myself, my ability to love is clairvoyant. I burn myself with a coffee pot at 16. The scar takes 2 years to finally heal itself into the shape of a spade. I realize the spade is actually a treasure map on my body that points the way directly to him. But in this alternate version of fate, we find ourselves together 10 years earlier. And there he is, all flame and honey that fits artfully into the deepest recesses of my chest, with a mane that swirls past his shoulders. In this incarnation, I have won the love lottery. The jackpot is 720 more hours of kisses, 3,650 more nights asleep with his heartbeat, and a chance to see my husband just once with all that sweeping, lustrous hair.
Lovely. Lovely. And the relationship between the two of you is formed so delicately in your work. You know, you work around details of everyday life that then come out and sound so beautiful. What is your editing process like? Does it start out that way, or do you have a revision strategy that you go through when you write that allows you to get at those beautiful images so concretely?
You know, it's different every time. With that particular poem, I'm also a photographer in addition to being a poet, and I'm definitely, you know, sort of equally obsessed with photographs.
Yes.
And I do really love old-fashioned photographs. This was another poem that I wrote last April during the 30-30, and at a certain point I had taken several older photographs I had and used them as an inspiration for a few different poems. And so it actually did start with an old photograph of him when he had this really long hair that I never knew him with. And because I'd sort of had this theme of photographs, I was like, oh, maybe I should use this photograph also. And then actually it led me to the actual hair that he has saved, that we still have, thinking like, oh, yeah, that's even cooler than a photograph. That's the actual thing. Like, normally in life, we can only see what something looked like from a photograph, so to still sort of have that artifact. It's like this, I started to think of it as this really unique antique item that we own in our home. And sometimes editing takes me a long time. Like I said with that wedding poem, I was writing it for months and I didn't get it done in time. But then when you do something like the 30-30, I don't know if everyone's familiar, and you're in this process of writing a poem a day, sometimes the poem gets written and edited in less than 24 hours. Sometimes I start a few drafts and write them over 3 or 4 days and they get posted on the day they get finished. So it's always different. I don't have any specific set way that I always write and edit. But I do like deadlines, actually. I feel I get a lot of more work. Although I like to let the inspiration come as it needs to, I do feel like deadlines help me to treat the art of writing as a real sort of professional craft that has a deadline, and more material gets finished, I think, with deadlines.
Lovely. And you mentioned 30-30. Can you tell us a little bit what that is? Because I'm sure there are some people who are very well informed about it, and there are other people who have no idea what that is.
Sure. So since April is National Poetry Month, I started again, I don't know if it's been 10 full years, but when the 30-30 was introduced to me and became really popular, I think it was because the internet was booming and we can now do so many things together, you know, from the comfort of our own homes, just like this interview. The challenge is to try to write a poem a day for 30 days for the month of April. And a lot of poets then share them online, and some don't. Some just write it and keep in their journal or in their own archives at home. They just like to know they got 30 new poems, or at least attempt to get 30 new poems done in April. But a lot of us still like to post them every day. I definitely am one of those people that feels I need to post them, because if I don't have anyone I need to show it to, then I feel I don't put as much pressure on the poems to be a high quality, and I don't feel as much pressure to get it done. It's like nobody's watching me. So I definitely like to post them. And I think it's a great time for community for poets, because everybody, you see everybody posting their poems. Some people do it on their blogs. I do mine on Facebook in the Facebook Notes feature. People tag each other. They show up. I've met new poets just through this, just through the 30-30, because other people see other people's poems on others' walls and comments. People recommend different poems. People share or repost poems if you allow them to. And then I recommend it to all my students, my Urban Word students who are high school students, my college students. I tell them I'll give them extra credit if they want to try to do it, or at least follow several poets. I recommend different poets we study. if they're doing a study, they could follow them, and then we can come into class and discuss the poems. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. I love April for many reasons, and definitely 30-30 is one of my favorite parts.
Well, that's perfect, and I love that you have all your students working on it as well. I also use Facebook for mine to post my 30-30, and I really hear what you're saying about people in general. I think this is true. If you don't have any sort of deadline or have something that you know other people are going to be watching you about, it is easier to just sort of put things off and do it halfway instead of really embracing the entire project and knowing that you need to have something of higher quality. I understand that so well in my own work with teenage writers. So, yes,
sure.
Definitely, absolutely. I know that in the past you've had a couple of different merchandise things. I know that you probably are coming into some performances. So if you want to give us a rundown on what merchandise or dates, places, events you have going on in the near future, we'd love to hear about those as well.
Sure. So I write and create and perform as a poet solo, and then also we only briefly mentioned it. My husband is a musician. We were just talking about him playing the guitar. And
mm-hmm.
he writes and performs solo. And then we also both perform as a duo, which we call the Robin and the Lady Poet. And then on the side, I also, because I'm a photographer, I do a lot of video work. So
yes.
We've done a few things, both solo and collaborative. On my own, my first book was published 5 years ago, and that's called Dialect of a Skirt. That's still available. And then on my website, I have listed several books that are either included in as an anthology. As you mentioned, if there's any teenagers in the New York City area or close to it, I wrote the textbook that we use at Urban Word called Creatively College Bound, and that's the textbook we use to help them with the college application process and the scholarship process.
What's it called?
And then that's called Creatively College Bound.
Okay.
And it's just the Urban Word. It's not a book you can buy separately, but you can join the program.
Okay.
And then obtain that textbook and be in that program. That's really just for teens in the college process.
Okay.
And then collaboratively, myself and my husband, one of my poems that I published a few years ago called The Baxter Street Blues, we turned that into a short film. And it's a... it's a combination of the two of us. I released it on YouTube just a few months ago because we took about 2 years to have it do the rounds in some film festivals as a short film. So that's a project we're newly promoting because now that it's done with its festival run, we're also promoting it on YouTube, digitally, on the internet. And then together we have several sort of music videos that are these sort of poem, song, hybrid, sort of, they're not short films, they'd be closer to music videos. Those we have out. And then as a photographer and videographer, my husband has two brand new songs that I filmed and directed and edited the videos for. And we just put those out for the release of his new album. So those I'm not featured on as a poet, just as a visual artist. The photography and videography.
We're running out of time, Erica.
Sure.
And if you would like to talk more, that's fine. Otherwise, we need to get into your last poem. And I want to thank
you
so much for being my guest
poem.
Today. Okay,
sure.
Great.
So this is the only poem. I imagined I would write many poems about my son, but I've only written one so far. My son is on the way, and it's called Prayer to My Son. When I married your father, I was certain I had fallen in love with a boy for the last time. But now it is almost as if I am cheating, like I am a teenager again. I have been taking a lot of very long walks, spending hours daydreaming of your skin, your voice, a whole new sort of flying insect feeling in my belly, wearing an almost guilty conscience at what an adventure it is to again suffer the torment of this 21-year-old girl-like fever, the furious impatience of wanting time to move faster so I can see you, like reckless new love that I have not known in years, not since I was a much younger girl, where I am terrified all the time of everything, of breakneck traffic crashing my bones since I now have so much to live for, or of going to the store without combing my hair, for fear that someone may see me and tell you how wretched I really am. But this obsession, this metagalactic-sized crush I have on you, knows that I will not bump into you anywhere, because you are actually always with me, so close that I wonder if you hear everything I say, even when I whisper, and just in case you do, I am careful to be extra kind to people on the street, to only sing along to certain songs when I'm alone in my car, because I want you, as you swim your days away, to also fall in love with me, even though we are actually strangers, even though we will not meet until a future April.
Thank you so much, Erica. You've been a wonderful guest today. This is Spoken Heard. I'm Susan Dobie Chase. And until next week, be kind to one another.
Thank you.